Today we'll read in Philemon verses 8, 9, and 17, 18, and 19. You'll notice I put in your handouts there some definitions, because there's some words you may know what they mean, you may not, or you might appreciate a little bit more clarification or what the meaning is of those words, because they're going to be in the verses that we're going to read here. Okay, so here we are studying this little book, Philemon, and this is where we come this morning, Philemon. We'll start reading today at verse number 7. It says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So he is going to ask something of Philemon, rather than to command it of him by his authority as an apostle, even though he says a command would be convenient, it would be appropriate. But out of love, he's going to make a request of him, and we'll see what that request is in the weeks to come. All right, jump down to verse 17. "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he," that's speaking of Onesimus, the slave, "if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides." So here's the situation. A man, as is common, is going to ask a favor of another man, which is common. And in doing so, he's going to make two proposals to that man. Number one, if this puts you in any way in a difficult or in a hardship situation to take this servant back, whatever it costs you, I will repay. I will be your debtor. And then he reminds the man that I, Paul, have ministered to you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have ministered to your spiritual needs, and perhaps I can call upon the debt that you owe me for my spiritual service to you. Now, this is a very common thing. We do it all the time. You and I, we do things for others. Other people do things for us. And there's a certain understanding that those deeds of kindness and those deeds of mercy carry with them some measure, whether expected, whether demanded, whether just hoped for, some measure of a debt. And we'll just think along these lines this morning. Who do you owe? Who do you owe? To whom do you owe some debt today? Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, help us to think back upon our lives and remember all those people who cared for us, who loved us, who did things for us all through our lives to bring us to the point where we are today. Help us, Lord, to consider whether we may owe them a debt of gratitude or thanksgiving or even more than that, Lord. Help us to especially to pay attention to the biblical ways in which we owe, and to respond accordingly to those things that we learn today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would suggest this morning that, depending upon your age, some of you are very young, probably not yet able to realize the extent of your indebtedness. But every one of us are in debt to others for a million acts of kindness that we've received along the way. Not a person in here this morning is a self-made man or a self-made woman. Not a person here today got here on their own merits or by virtue of their own strength or by their own labors or their own talents or their own abilities. Someone fed you when you could not feed yourself. Someone clothed and protected you when you could not clothe and protect yourself. Someone nursed you through your illnesses and your injuries when you could not do so for yourself. As you grew, someone taught you the vowel sounds and the consonant sounds and how to string those things together and how to pronounce words and then phrases and then sentences. Someone taught you to read so that you could read the Bible that you have in your lap this morning. Someone taught you the basics of mathematics. Someone taught you the basics of social interaction. In a million ways, people have ministered to us, given to us, assisted us, and made us the people that we are today. The house that you may own back home, you say, well, I bought it. Well, someone taught you how to labor. Someone gave you an opportunity to labor. Someone instructed you as to how to manage your money. Once you got that house, someone assisted you in many, many ways to keep the thing from falling down around you. So I'm just telling you, whatever you have today, materially, socially, temporally, in this world, you owe a million debts of gratitude to those who helped you to attain what you have. For instruction given, for grace bestowed, for mercy shown, we all are great debtors to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to the human race in general. Not only that, but not one of us here today can say, I've received the full measure of the punishment that I deserve. And I'm not talking about eternal judgment or eternal damnation. I'm saying every one of us has been treated more leniently than our actions merited. Every one of us has many times been given the benefit of the doubt. People have been easy on us when they could have been hard on us. Many a time you've said something or I've said something and another person has just out of mercy held their tongue, didn't say anything. Many a time you and I have acted inappropriately and someone has just taken that slight, taken that offense and didn't react in a bad way. They just went on their way. Sure, we always think of the times when somebody did react, somebody did say something. We think of the times when somebody acted upon our bad actions. But how many times has somebody just been good to us, just been gracious to us, or just been merciful to us? In many, many ways, we owe others a meal, a repair, a word of encouragement, a shoulder in times of weakness, a handshake, a thank you. People encourage us all the time. People help us all the time. People uphold us all the time. People strengthen us and keep us going all the time. How many times would you have quit in your schooling, quit in your pursuit of studies or career? How many times would you have quit in your service for the Lord? How many times would you have quit in some aspect or area of your service for the Lord had somebody not come along beside you and said, just keep going, you can do it. You're a help, you're a blessing. None of us here today can stand and stick our chest out and pound on it and say, it's all me, I did it all. I got here on my own. I don't need anybody else's help. I don't need anybody's assistance. Nobody can say that. How many times has somebody come along beside you? And again, you young people, boys and girls, you've got a lot of Adam's experience that you still need to live in this world before you figure this out. But many of us can remember a day in a hospital bed or a funeral home or a graveside when somebody came along beside us and said some little word that just seemed, at the time, seemed so insignificant. A word that seemed like it couldn't possibly meet the need of the hour. And yet it did. How many times has somebody just taken you aside and said, let's pray together? And just knowing that somebody cared made a tremendous difference in your life. How many times has somebody slipped you a little bit of money and they didn't even know how badly you needed that? But God just put it on their heart to do a little something for you. So I'm telling you, every one of us owes a great debt of gratitude to others for the condition in which we find ourselves today. We're all the better because of the help of others. We're all the better because of the assistance that we've received from others. How about your spiritual life? If you're saved today, what do you owe the man or the woman who gave you the gospel? What do you owe the Sunday school teacher or the preacher that brought the good news to your ears? What do you owe that job mate, that co-worker, that family member that explained to you eternal life through Jesus Christ? Could you ever possibly repay that individual? What a debt. How about those who have taught us the Word of God, those who have set for us an example of the Christian life? Those who, even when we may have been one who quenched their fire for the Lord, they didn't let that bring them down. But they continued to set that example. And they continued to serve the Lord with gladness. And they just kept speaking to others about how good it is to tell people about Jesus. And because of their steadfastness, because of their good example, you finally got interested yourself because of their interest. And to those of you who are somehow involved in trying to reach others for Jesus, well, you didn't just wake up one day and decide to do that. Somebody set an example for you. And somebody encouraged you, and somebody instructed you, and somebody led you in that way. We owe a lot of people today. These beautiful songs that we sing, well, they didn't just appear. Somebody labored and prayed and shed tears over the paper and over the keyboard and over the stringed instrument and produced what we enjoyed singing this morning. God's been good to us. He's been very, very good to us. But scripturally, there are three specific debts that the Word of God says that we owe as members of this great church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, let's go to Romans. Turn with me to Romans, chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Interesting that all three of these debts are going to be found in the book of Romans. Romans 1, and verse number 14, Romans 1, 14. I am debtor says the Apostle Paul, as directed by the Holy Spirit, as he speaks for all men and women when he does so, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This morning, I owe every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth an opportunity to hear about my wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I do not owe my neighbor money, not this morning. By the grace of God, I do not owe my neighbor for an hour's labor that he did for me. Thanks be to God. But I do owe my neighbor an opportunity to hear why Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. I owe my neighbor an opportunity to hear the glorious message of Jesus Christ bearing the sins of mankind in his body on that cruel cross. I owe it to my neighbor to make known to him that one tomb is empty this morning. That one man walked into that grave by his own power and walked out of that grave by his own power and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never perish. I owe this world the gospel. Whether it's a man in Indonesia, whether it's a man in Canada, or whether it's a man in Kuwait, I owe that man the gospel. Whether it's a woman in India, a woman in the Philippines, or a woman in Ghana, I owe that woman the gospel. God has saved my soul. God has given me everlasting life. God has bestowed upon me the hope of everlasting joy. I owe it to the world to make Jesus Christ known to them. Well, that's quite a debt. It's quite a debt. Secondly, in Romans chapter number 8, here the Word of God says, beginning at verse number 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and if you're born again, that is what happened. The Holy Spirit of God came to live within you. And the Bible says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So there's my future hope. I have a hope of a resurrection. I have a hope of eternal life because of that Holy Spirit that God gave me when I trusted Jesus. Okay, you see that? All right, verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the second debt I owe is this. And let's just quickly make note of the fact that I don't owe this flesh anything. I don't owe it one more sin for old time's sake. I don't owe my flesh one more carnal indulgence for the way things used to be. I don't owe it one more trip into darkness, but I owe the Holy Spirit. I am indebted to the one who brought me out of that bondage to sin. I am indebted to the one who delivered me from that iniquity. I'm indebted to the one who took me out of death and into the realm of everlasting life. I owe him my day-to-day, moment-by-moment service. I owe him. He's been very good to me. Just think about what could you be addicted to this morning? What could you be bound by this morning? What depth of ruin and despair could you be trapped in this morning if it were not for the power of the blessed Holy Spirit leading you out of that and giving you new life in Jesus Christ? Well, then serve Him. Serve Him, not the flesh. And then number three is in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse number 8. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. I owe you not the phrase, I love you, but I owe you actual love. I owe you not the words, but the deeds of love. It's not enough for me to say, I love you, and then to steal your wife. It's not enough for me to say, I love you, and then to steal your reputation. It's not enough for me to say, I love you, and then to kill you. It's not enough for me to say, I love you, and then lie about you. It's not enough for me to say, I love you, and then I take what belongs to you. The Bible says the law of God is the expression of the love of God. And those that are possessed and controlled by the love of God will live according to the law of God in regard to others. So really think about it. I don't need to memorize all the commandments. If I can just fill my heart with the love of Jesus Christ, I'm going to find myself keeping the commandments even if I don't know what they are. I'll find myself treating you as God orders me to, without being ordered to do it. The Bible says, I owe it to every one of you to live in love toward you. I owe it to every one of my neighbors to live in love toward them. I owe it to every citizen of my community to live in love toward them. I'm a debtor. I am a debtor. You say, well, what have they ever done for you? Plenty, plenty. And we covered that at the very start of this lesson. You say, well, nobody's ever done anything for me. This world's been against me since the day I was born. Well, you can't say that. And I think you know better. And the reason a person starts thinking like that is because we tend to dwell upon the bad things that happen to us, the unfortunate circumstances. We tend to dwell upon the few people along the way that have really done us wrong. But most people have really, if you think about it, most people have never harmed you. Most people have never lifted a finger against you. Many, many people along the way have helped you tremendously, if you give it some serious thought. And so we owe the love of God. Now come to Philippians chapter 2. And let's find this debt, or the payment of the debt, the manner in which we can pay the debt. Let's see if we can get an explanation here, how to do it. Philippians 2, and verse beginning in verse number 1. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. So what would keep me from loving my neighbor? Thinking myself of greater value than him. What would keep me from giving the gospel to a barbarian? Considering myself more deserving than him. What would keep me from yielding to the Holy Spirit rather than yielding to the flesh? What would bring that about? Loving self more than God. So the whole key to paying my debts is never forgetting that I am a debtor, and being free from this mindset that everybody owes me, and remembering that scripturally it's just the opposite. I owe everybody. Verse 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. When did that happen? That's the great birth at Bethlehem. It's the great God stooping down to become a lowly man. And verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus Christ sets the example. What is it to love? It is to put everyone above yourself. What is it to love? It is to serve everyone, even at the expense of yourself. What is it? It's to minister to others so their lives can be made better, even if your life is made more difficult or more unpleasant by doing so. You say, well, that doesn't sound very pleasant to me. Well, then you need to remember, where did Jesus end up? Verse number 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And where did we read in Romans 8 that you will end up if you're saved and you're born again? Risen from the dead and enjoying eternal life. So the example that Jesus set is to put every other person ahead of yourself. Put every other person's needs ahead of your own needs. Put every other person's well-being ahead of your own temporal pleasures and enjoyment. And then here's the amazing thing. Very curious. I'm searching. I'm trying to complete this message, and I'm looking for the verse that would illustrate to you and to show you scripturally what we owe God. And there's no such verse. I'm looking in the scripture for the verse that says, I died and washed your sins away. I gave you eternal life. Therefore, you owe me this, 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 and this. And there's no such verse. You see, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. Having given you eternal life, he demands nothing in return. I say he demands nothing in return. You don't owe him. It was a gift. The Bible says in Romans 5, the free gift. And people have found that troubling over the years. If you pass out a gospel tract and it says the free gift, people will say, you can't put that a free gift. But you've all been enticed into some sales pitch where you found out that the gift really wasn't free. Okay? But God's gift is free. Having given you eternal life, you don't owe him anything. Having saved your soul, you don't owe him anything. Having washed all your sins away, you don't owe him anything. You say, well, shouldn't I serve him? Well, yes, I would say so. But what I'm saying is he's not demanding it. The Bible says it's reasonable, right? Romans 12:1, it's reasonable service, reasonable to serve him. Shouldn't I live for him? Of course you should. But I'm just saying you're not ordered, you're not commanded to do so. But it only makes sense. Why does God not command you to pay your debt to him? Why does Jesus Christ not command you to pay your debt to him? Well, because he's setting the example for the way in which we are to pay our debts to a lost and dying world, to a human race that's hurting, and to our brothers and sisters in Christ. How do we pay that debt? With no demand or expectation for a return on our investment. I give the world the gospel. If they mistreat me in return, so what? They don't owe me anything. It was a gift. If I lay down my life for my neighbor and his life is made better by my sacrifice, I don't have to begrudge my neighbor if he doesn't turn again and thank me. It was a gift. He doesn't owe me anything. If I truly minister to my brothers and sisters in Christ out of a heart of love, and the response to that is not what I had hoped that it would be, well, it was a gift. You don't owe me anything. You see what Jesus Christ has done for us? He has not put you in a religion where you owe God. He loved you. He gave you his all. It's yours. You want salvation? It's yours. You want eternal life? It's yours. You want a home in heaven? It's yours. You want your sins forgiven? It's yours. Wow. God did that. God, you say, God did all that for me? Well, what do I owe him? not a thing. It's a gift. Whew, well, then I just think I'll serve a God like that. I voluntarily offer myself to Him, not because He made me do it, but because He gave so much to me that I'm just glad to do it. That's what I want to do. So I owe every man an opportunity to hear the gospel. If I preach to millions and but a handful respond, I don't stop preaching. I don't stop witnessing. I don't stop reaching out with the good news. Why? Because they don't owe me anything. I owe them. If I follow the Holy Spirit, I obey His commands, I trust His guidance, I live by His word, and as a result, there's some sorrows, some suffering, some heartaches, some difficult times. I don't quit following the Holy Spirit. He doesn't owe me anything. I owe Him. I am His debtor. Now, if I love others the way God has shown me to love them, if I give and lay down my life for others the way God has shown me and shown me to give and to lay down my life for them, if that was a true outpouring of genuine love, well, then they don't owe me anything, and I don't demand anything. I should not expect anything. There doesn't have to be a return. Not if it's true love. You know, every year at the holidays, Christmas time, fathers give gifts to their children that obviously children cannot equal in giving a gift back. It's not a competition, see. Mothers will give gifts to their daughters and not compare price tags when the daughter gives a gift back to them. Why? It's not a competition. The mother gives to the daughter because she loves her. The father gives to the son because he loves him. It's not a situation where the parent says to the child, "Here you go, now you owe me." It's a gift. At Calvary, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and He doesn't say, "And now you owe me." It's a gift. But there's many a son who gladly honors his father all the days of his life because his heart was won by those gifts and those expressions of love. There's many a daughter who desires to please her mother all the days of her life because their heart was turned. Her heart was won by those expressions of love. We don't serve God today because we have to. We serve Him today because our hearts have been won by His expressions of love that were freely given. And we don't preach the gospel to this world because we might get something out of it from the world that we're preaching to. We just owe them. We owe them the gospel. It's free. Here, take it. Here's a gospel tract. Here's a Bible. Here's a book. Here's a church service. Here's an invitation to come to Christ. It's all free. You don't owe us a thing. You know, we want you to have it. Why? Because we love you. We want you to have it because we care about you. You don't have to pay our preachers to come. They'll ride up and down the country and raise money if they have to, and they'll come at their own expense. They'll come at the church's expense just to build you a little church house out there in the jungle so you can know Jesus. No cost. We'll bear the cost. See, we live in a culture that calls self-interest love. They call that love. And the proof is, if you don't do something in return, then what was called love, it's withdrawn. They take it back. If it's real love, that mother will get up night after night after night and run to the bedside of that crying baby and never demand that the baby crawl into the kitchen and help with the dishes. That's right. And you know why? Because it's love. It's truly love. And every hour of every day, God runs to our aid in 1,000 different ways and never withholds that love if he doesn't get an equal measure of service in return. And that's what he wants us to understand. You don't owe me. I don't want anything. But you owe everybody else the same treatment that I've given you. You owe everybody else the same grace, the same mercy, the same kindness, the same truth, the same honesty, the same rebuke and correction that God has given you. Scripturally, we are debtors to every man that they might hear the gospel. We are a debtor to the Holy Spirit who gave us this wonderful new life. We are a debtor to every man to show them the love that God has shown us, not with any expectation of return, but as a gift freely given. That's the gift that keeps on giving. That's the one that you don't exchange. That's the one you don't take back because it didn't fit. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. You don't earn heaven before you got saved, and you don't earn heaven after you get saved. It's a gift. You say, well then why are you people doing all this work? We enjoy serving God. We enjoy it. We want to do it. Well, you say, what would God do if you didn't do it? If you didn't serve him, if you didn't do that work? Well, look around. Look around. See if you find somebody that's not doing anything for God. Ask them what God did to them as a result. Nothing. God's not dropping people dead because they're not serving him. If that was happening, then there wouldn't be very many people breathing today. We don't serve because we have to. No more than a mother demands service from a child in order to be loved. God is good. He's really good to us. And you know, for the most part, people have been really good to us. We're debtors today. We are all debtors. So let's get busy trying to pay the debt we owe according to the Bible. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to these things, or maybe reminding us about these things. Help us, Lord, to remember that it is a debt, to remember that we ought to serve by your example, by Jesus Christ and how he gave his all for the world. Help us to look around us and consider, have I loved that man? Have I loved that woman? My neighbor, my co-workers, people around me, Lord, help us to ask ourselves the question, have I not given that person the gospel because I don't think they deserve it as much as I do? Lord, help us to give the gift freely and remember that we owe it to all men, all women. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.